We're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm sorry that I sent the wrong scripture reading ever so slightly in. We're going to read through verse 20. We're going to read through verse 20 from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Specifically our text this morning, and that will be, by the way, our scripture reading for the coming weeks. As we would like, I would like to go through the armor of God. This was what we looked at camp this year. And I hadn't considered it heavily as a sermon text, other than to look across it fairly broadly. And I think it is very helpful for us as Christians to think about the armor and the weapons which God has given to us as Christians. So let us read together Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given me to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far the reading of God's word, may He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the armor of God, God has given us this armor with which we are to do battle. We as Christians too often think, well, the battle's won. I need to just sit back in my Christian easy chair. I don't have to worry about this battle thing. Well, there are a number of passages in the New Testament where God gives us very clear indications that we are in a battle. God makes it very clear to us, and we need to fight. If you went into the midst of a battlefield and you were wearing your daily wardrobe, you'd be in trouble. And that is how many Christians act today. They go about in life, well, I don't need to worry about that stuff. God tells us that we are to put on the whole armor of God, but he was getting a little excited there. Don't need to worry about those sorts of things. Now, we don't want to spend our time in fear. In fact, we need to be very careful that we do not spend our time running around in fear. But at the same time, we need to be very aware that we are in a battle. Battle for our own lives, our own eternities, and a battle for souls. Peter writes, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." This passage has some really heavy language. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We've got a battle going on, and without Christ, the enemy is greater than we are. We need to see that. We need to realize that. But remember also what the Apostle James says, James 4, verses 7 and 8, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Remember at the beginning of the letter, James said that double-minded people are a real problem. Notice what the answer to that is. Purify your hearts, cleanse your hands, go to God, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. We think so often that we are going to get better and more saved somehow by what we do and being more obedient. God says, draw near to Him. Read His Word. Study it. Don't just spend 3 seconds praying that quick prayer before meals. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We are in the middle of a battle. And God not only ordains the ends, but He ordains the means by which those things happen. And God uses our actions in the middle of His plan, as part of His plan, to bring about our salvation. So we cannot just sit back and say, well, if God's going to save me, good luck on that, God. No, we are, by the grace of God, if God is working in us, going to cooperate, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. We don't feel that, but we know that's true by God's Word, that God is the one who's giving us that ability to do those things. Now, as we look at this passage, we have two different sections, and there are two different perspectives going on here. When we have our need to stand, as we look at this passage, we begin with the bare fact of God. Be strong in the Lord. Because God is great. God is strong. And if that's not enough to push us to be prepared with the armor which God gives us, think about the enemies. Realize you better be prepared for them. And as we know, we as Christians, that's part of what being a Christian is, as the Heidelberg Catechism says in question answer 32, is to fight against sin and the devil in this life. We have a fight, and we are called to do that by the power of Christ, using His armor. And that's the theme that we want to see as we look at God's Word this morning. In the midst of spiritual battle against forces far greater than we rely on the power of the Lord's might, and on the armor He provides. In the midst of a spiritual battle against forces far greater than we rely on the power of the Lord's might and the armor He provides. In verses 10 and 11, we see our strength is in the Lord and in His armor. And in verses 12 and 13, we see that our struggle is not against blood and flesh. Therefore, we need that whole armor of God. So our strength is in the Lord and His armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God begins here with that word finally, in conclusion. Right here it's a different word than normal. He's saying, going forward. That's the idea. Going forward. My brethren, be strong in the Lord. As we walk, as we live as Christians, we need to be strong, not in ourselves, our strength, our abilities, but our strength is God. Remember God's might. He created all things. He upholds all things. Going back to the beginning of Ephesians, when we're reading a book in the Bible and we wonder about a concept, we want to stay in that book if we can. Or stay in the author, and we look out throughout the Bible to understand what that context is. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Christ has already that name which is above every name, above all of these principalities and these powers. And so when we look at this passage and we say, that sounds scary. Jesus is above it. But if we waltz into the battlefield with no idea what's going on, yeah, we're going to get run over. So we need to be practicing with the armor of God. And notice that above all principality and power and might and dominion, Jesus is seated above Satan. I want to spend a little bit of time on Satan this morning. I don't want to get deeply entrenched there. But we need to understand who the devil is. Because that's the second verse there, verse 11. Clothe yourselves with the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the devil. God has given us the answer to the battle. The armor of God. Powerful weapons. He says, clothe yourselves. We're called to put these things on. Use of armor doesn't happen by accident. We need to work with the armor, the weapon that God has given to us, to practice with them. Think about David and Goliath. As David is ready to go out, Saul says, here, take my armor. And what did David say? I haven't tested these. Interesting words. That's 1 Samuel 17, 38 and 39. David had not practiced with that armor, and therefore it would not help him in the battle. If we are unprepared with the armor of God, it won't be of much use for us in the battle either. Use the whole armor of God. The armor works together. We need the whole set, not just one here or there. God gives us the weapons of our warfare. Now, we often think, first of all, that we need to come up with our own ways to fight Satan. No. We need to fight Satan God's ways. And that's one of the things that we have summarized for us in this passage. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, 10 verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The weapons that we have are not weak. We often think so. That's another issue that we have as human beings. We diminish the value of the things God gives us and say, I want my own ideas. I want to do it my way. That is not what God says is going to be used, is going to be blessed. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God to the purpose of pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Again, we need to be prepared, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Part of that is bringing our thoughts into captivity to Christ. Notice that there are the summation here in verse 18 is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Especially for Paul, by which he means ministers and the spreading of the gospel in the church. And we need to do all of these things, put on all of these parts of this armor by prayer. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to use prayer. God uses prayer. God directs prayer. And we as Christians, when we pray, God has that as part of His pathway by which He brings about His will in this world. I think of what Mordecai said to Esther. For this reason, perhaps, you have been brought to this place. If you don't go and put your life in danger, Mordecai says to Esther, God will save His people, but you won't be a part of it. We as Christians need to take up this armor and to fight, knowing that we are called by God to do that. If we think we can go along and get along and live the way the world does, God will save His people, the ones He wills. But we're not going to be a part of that. We need to realize that. And so we need to take up the weapons that you may have power to stand steadfast. Where does that power come from? It comes from God. We're reminded of that here again. To stand steadfast. Notice again, interesting perspective that God places in front of us. He doesn't say, we're going to go in, we're going to bowl down the enemy. One man, you know, what was the old saying, one man army? I forget how that went. No. By the way, the weapons that we have of warfare are not one man weapons. They are there for the usage together as the church of God. If one man breaks ranks, we're all in danger. And we are called to stand steadfast. Not to bowl down the enemy, not to run over them, but by the power of God to stand in a world that is trying to run over us. When we think about fighting against those who are more powerful than us, the fighting against spiritual enemies, that we stand steadfast against him. And in reaction to the craftiness of the devil is crafty. Going back, Genesis, the devil twisted God's words. He makes himself appear as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There's so much there. But Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, and those who are working for him make themselves seem like workers, apostles of Christ. And we need to be careful because Satan is crafty. We need to know the Word of God so clearly that when there is a counterfeit, we know it and we can see it. As well, Satan is the most powerful creature God created. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they may believe a lie. Yet God is greater. Jesus is greater. Remember what we said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Rely on Christ, not our own abilities. And we need to know his wiles, his craftiness. Satan's main ways of fighting us is he is the accuser. He accuses us to God, but he also accuses us to ourselves. Aren't you so terrible? God can't save you. He lays down shame upon us. And we as Christians need to realize that we have a God who hears our cries for help. We have the God who has washed us from our sins. And so we do not need to fear shame in his sight. And we do not need to say, oh, Satan, you're right, I'm so terrible. We come before God grateful for his grace to sinners. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And again, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest somehow the serpent, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's so easy for us to be pulled away from Christ, to think I've got to do it, I've got to save myself somehow myself, which is just backwards and upside down. And so first of all, we need to see the awesomeness of our awesome Savior, our awesome God who has saved us from guilt and from hell. But if that's not enough to press us to put on the armor which God has given to us, then we need to be reminded of those against whom we fight. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against dark spiritual powers. This is an intense struggle. This is not going to be a walk in the park. This is not easy. This is a war. If we are not prepared for battle, we are walking into a battlefield unprotected. And as I said, so sadly, so many Christians do this. Is the world around us a friend to Christians? No way. Then why do we treat it that way? Why do we expect that the world is going to come and say, "Oh, how wonderful, my Christian friends"? If we're truly standing for Christ in the world, it is going to be enemies to us. And it is not against blood and flesh. It is not a struggle against human or animal enemies primarily. Now, there are human enemies, but they're driven by evil spiritual forces. Probably one of the reasons that the unbelieving world likes to ignore anything that has to do with the spiritual is exactly this. Nothing to see there. The spirit world? No, no, no. We don't look at that. Except they go into these, you know, you watch sometimes on TV ghost hunts and baloney like that. And all that does is make fun of the true spiritual God who is there. And so we have a battle against supernatural powers, against Satan. Now we think of him as a fallen angel, and angel just means messenger. But if we're reading Scripture correctly in Ezekiel 28:11-19, he's actually a fallen cherubim. You can read the beginning of Ezekiel to read about cherubim. Rather interesting beings, spiritual beings. But powerful. And we need to understand that he is working with powers, signs, lying wonders. And the world around us trusts that stuff, follows that stuff. But we, brothers and sisters, need to be prepared. And we struggle against authorities. There are earthly authorities which set themselves in league with Satan. That section in Ezekiel talks about the king of Tyre, actually. But the description is obviously not just of an earthly king. The book of Revelation talks about, first of all, the rulers of Jerusalem and the rulers of Israel fighting against the Christian church by the power of Satan. And then the second vision in the book of Revelation is about the Romans. Again, the Roman leadership activated by Satan. But we need to understand that God, Christ, overcomes. The victory is already won in the cross of Christ. And we have this already and not yet in history. Christ has won, but because he is, 2 Peter 3:9, waiting for the last soul he has ordained to be saved, the world continues. He's also waiting for the day of judgment in which he will bring justice against Satan and against all who are in rebellion against him. And brothers and sisters, don't fear. Pity those who are in rebellion. They need the gospel. Who knows if God might save them, Acts 20:26-18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Pray for that. Work for that. Live for that. Bear the armor of God for that. And we have against the Lord of this dark world, we've been talking about Satan and his angels. Against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This battle, by the way, is not external to us. We must fight within ourselves against evil as well. Romans 7:23, "But I see another law within my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:4, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And so therefore, take up the whole armor of God in order to resist and to stand. Therefore, based on these two facts, the power of God The battle that we're in, take up the armor. Don't just sit back, relax. Take up the whole armor. Not just a piece here and there. Put it on. Use it. Practice with it. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We live in a broken, evil world. That you may be able to resist evil in the evil day. Again, James 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God. Notice that step. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The days are evil, some more evil than others. We must resist using the powerful armor God has given to us. And having accomplished all, having fought valiantly for our Savior, to stand. By the power of God, yet being used by His power to fight the spiritual battle of being a Christian. And brothers and sisters, being a Christian is a battle. A battle within ourselves, a battle against the world. We are enlisted and we are called to prepare for a fight. As we said, 2 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But don't be afraid of him. Don't run in fear and cower. Run to Christ. Rely on him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Use the armor that God has given to us. Put it on. Prepare. Don't walk out into the midst of a battle in your t-shirt and shorts. It's not going to work well. God has given us powerful armor. He has won the victory. But we don't go out in shirts and a t-shirt. Shorts and a t-shirt. We're called to be ready and to be used of God. If we are in the battle, God will use us to bring souls to Himself for salvation, to bring down the strongholds, to use that weaponry God has given to us, to cast down strongholds, to win the victory all of the more. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we do thank you for armor in a battle. And we pray, Lord, that we would not disdain the battle which you have told us about, that we are a part of just by the bare fact of being Christians. We pray, Lord, that we would not lie down and be walked over, but rather that you would use us to stand firm, using the weaponry you have given to us, powerful for the casting down of arguments, of principalities, of powers. We thank you that you have given us weaponry. And we pray, Lord, help us to prepare to use it for the glory of your name. To that end, O Lord, bless us as we seek to open your word, to read it, to memorize it, to understand it. And we pray, Lord, use it. Use us using it to spread your gospel to a world that is hurting in sin and needs a Savior. For we pray this in our Savior's name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.